Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Vansir, Harav Meir Kahana, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, there are two subjects that we have to speak about. One is, of course, the Muslim Nazi terrorist attacks in Paris. And the second is the Republican debate that we had, and what the implications are for Ted Cruz's candidacy, because, of course, we're supporting Ted Cruz. But let's start off with Paris. 129 people were murdered. That's the death count so far. Of course, many people are in critical condition, so that death count might rise. And it comes less than a week after France and the other nations of the European Union announced a boycott on all products that are made in Judea and Samaria and that have any connection to Jewish settlements in Judea and Samaria. In other words, the Jews are not allowed to live in their biblical homeland. They're not allowed to live in Judea and Samaria. The anti-Semitic Europeans said they're going to boycott all Israeli products to demand that Israel commit national suicide, to demand that Israel retreat to the suicidal pre-1967 borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. The borders that even Abba Ibn, the ultra-dove, who was foreign minister from the left-wing Labor Party, even he referred to the pre-1967 borders as Auschwitz lines, suicide lines, Holocaust lines. And that's what the Europeans, who for 2,000 years murdered, tortured, expelled, committed genocide against the Jewish people for 2,000 years. And now they want the Jews in Israel to be exterminated, and so they want Israel to commit suicide. And less than a week after they demanded that Israel engage in this suicidal behavior, less than a week after that, the same Muslim Nazis that they want Israel to surrender to attack them in the heart of Paris. This is really just the beginning of what we call a warning, or midah keneged midah, measure for measure in Hebrew, from God, a warning from God that this hypocrisy and the double standard and the Nazi Jew hatred that we've gotten for 20 centuries from Europe, that this is going to bring terrible, terrible heavenly punishment upon all nations that engage in this type of behavior. So the first lesson is, this is just a little repayment for the vicious anti-Semitic policies of the Europeans. The European media, including the French media, justifying the Arab Nazis stabbing Jews and murdering Jews. And when Jews defend themselves and shoot Arabs that are coming to them with knives to stab them, the European media and the French media was defending the Arabs who come and stab the Jews. So they're getting a little taste now of what they want to impose on the Jewish people. And of course, they're not going to learn their lesson, but still, it's important that we nevertheless see the hand of God in giving the nations of the world warnings of what happens when you go against God's people and commit terrible injustice against God's people, which the Europeans and the nations of the world have been doing for many centuries. But there's a second message here from the attack in Europe. It's a message about coexistence with millions of Muslims who believe in a religion that calls for jihad, that calls for worldwide conquest. Anyone can just open up the Quran and read. There is no tolerance in the Quran. There is no peace in the Quran. There is only submission to Islam. Islam itself means submission, and Islam demands the submission of the whole world. And so it's impossible to coexist with people who are filled with fanatic intolerance and hatred and are taught from the time they're born to hate all non-Muslim infidels. It's impossible to coexist with people like this. That's the second lesson here. It's a lesson that the people of Israel should certainly learn. They should learn very quickly, because the millions of Arab Muslims that live in Israel don't want Israel to exist. They don't want the Jewish people to exist. And they agree with those who are stabbing and running Jews over and shooting at Jews and murdering Jews. They love this. And so the Jews of Israel had better wake up fast and understand that Harav Meir Kahana Zecher Tzadik VeKadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo was right. There is no coexistence. And that Israel must begin an aggressive program to encourage the Arabs who live in Israel, the millions of Arabs living in the land of Israel, to leave with compensation if they have property and if they haven't been engaged in acts of terrorism, haven't been caught in being involved in acts of terrorism or supporting acts of terrorism, then they should get compensation for their property. But they should be encouraged to leave. So that's the second big lesson here. And of course, our movement, you'll be proud to know, is making the Hebrew videos and putting up the posts in Hebrew and reaching thousands and thousands of Israeli Jews with this message to wake them up. Because no one else gives the Jews of Israel the message. No one else tells the Jews of Israel, hey, don't you understand what all of this means? No one else does that. And that's why you're part of a movement that is doing something that is so essential to the future of Israel and the Jewish people and to the future of the world. So that's the terrorism in Paris, and we've got to wake people up and make them aware of what this really means. And of course, as far as the United States is concerned, the terrorist attacks in Paris are a reminder of what happened on 9/11, a reminder of the other Muslim terrorist attacks that have been taking place on American soil. There is no coexistence with people who want to exterminate you and believe in a religion that calls for your extermination. There's no coexistence with them. The American people in the United States are going to have to learn that lesson as well. So that's the first thing we wanted to discuss. And the second thing now is the Republican debate with Ted Cruz. We almost, because of the attacks in Paris, we almost forget about it because so much has happened since. But on November 10th, there was a debate. And it was the fourth Republican debate. Once again, Ted Cruz easily won that debate, even though the news media wants to say that the left-wing Marco Rubio, the amnesty-supporting left-wing Marco Rubio, won the debate. That's not true. Ted Cruz won that debate. Every single sentence that he presented to the people, every single point that he made, was presented so professionally, so well, so convincingly. There's no question that he is a master debater. And there's no question that he is the debater who would do the best job on that debate stage against Hillary Clinton if, God willing, he became the Republican nominee. But the news media, of course, hates Ted Cruz and the Republican establishment hates him. So they don't want people to understand that he's so talented, he's the best debater, the best speaker, and he's the best hope we have for defeating Hillary Clinton. He also is the one candidate there who would actually make a good president. The other Republican candidates would not be good presidents. Some of them, maybe we would support them as lesser of the evils against Hillary Clinton. Maybe. But they would not be good presidents. None of the other candidates would make good presidents. Ted Cruz would be a good president, would actually be a good president for a change. And so, hopefully this gives us a better shot now. You know, amazingly, Donald Trump has lost all four debates, has done terrible in all four debates. So has Ben Carson. Ben Carson speaks like a zombie. He speaks like he's high on some sort of depressants.
I stabbed somebody. Oh, and then I went to the bathroom and I overcame it. My anger issue.
Everything in his past, in Ben Carson's past, is a lie. The way he speaks, the way he presents himself, how could anybody even consider supporting something like this for president? Aside from the fact that he supports Al Sharpton. He said his goal is the same as Al Sharpton. He went up to Harlem to praise Al Sharpton. Anyone who praises Al Sharpton, supports Al Sharpton, is disqualified from running for president or any office. Anyone who supports that racist anti-Semite Al Sharpton and his business manager Armstrong Williams supports Louis Farrakhan and wants the taxpayers to give money to Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. And I go on and on in exposing what Ben Carson stands on. Every issue he's bad. On amnesty he's bad. He supports amnesty. He used baby parts in his research as a doctor. He did the same thing Planned Parenthood did, and so on. So, you know, it's just unbelievable. How can anybody be supporting him? It's unbelievable. And then we have Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump, instead of dealing with the real issues that disqualified Ben Carson, Donald Trump said that Ben Carson is a child, compared him to a child molester. Said that he's like a child molester. I mean, Donald Trump makes these insane remarks that you can imagine what Hillary Clinton and the Democrats and the news media will do to him if he ever, God forbid, becomes a Republican nominee, and he may become the Republican nominee. He's still leading in all the polls. He may be the Republican nominee, God forbid. Let's just hope and pray that doesn't happen, because he would be such a disaster. You know, just imagine this. Hillary Clinton's campaign, and they're salivating at the thought of running against Donald Trump. But just imagine Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump, God forbid. All Hillary Clinton has to do is run commercials showing Donald Trump praising Hillary Clinton. Because there are commercials where he did, I mean, we've shown you where he has, in interviews, he's praised Hillary Clinton. He said what a great job she does, what a good Secretary of State she is, how much he likes Hillary and Bill Clinton. That he thinks that she's the one who should be in charge of leading negotiations against Iran. I mean, all Hillary Clinton has to do is run commercials showing Donald Trump praising her and saying, hey, before he ran for president, he agreed that Hillary Clinton did a very good job, that Hillary Clinton was a great Secretary of State. He supported her, he agreed with her, he gave her hundreds of thousands of dollars. He contributed to her campaigns. Now suddenly he's against her just because he wants to be president? That's all she has to do is run those commercials. All she has to do is show Donald Trump praising Hillary Clinton and say, she can't be that bad in Donald Trump's eyes if he was giving her so much money and praising her and supporting her until he decided to run against her. She couldn't be, he can't think she's really that bad of a leader. I mean, And of course, on the issues, Donald Trump is awful, awful on the issues. He won't even abrogate the horrifying agreement with Iran. Even that, he won't even rip up that agreement. He's one of the only Republican candidates, him and Jeb Bush, I think, are the only two, and Rand Paul, they're the only Republicans who say they won't rip up that terrible agreement with Iran. He certainly won't militarily attack Iran, which is what we really need, and which is what I believe Ted Cruz will do. He certainly won't do that, and Ted Cruz is promising to do that. Ted Cruz is promising to take military action unless Iran agrees to dismantle in a verifiable way the entire nuclear program there, which of course the Iranians will not agree to. So Ted Cruz is taking the right stand. Donald Trump is taking the worst possible stand. The worst possible stand. He's saying he's not only going to not strike against Iran militarily, but he is going to abide by the horrible agreement they have. Let's hope and pray that Ted Cruz catches a break. He is going up in the polls. He's going to have to go up a lot further. He's going to have to overtake Ben Carson and Donald Trump, and he's going to have to defeat Marco Rubio. It's not going to be easy, but we're going to do everything we can to support him and to help him. And you've seen us, of course, putting up videos and trying and working and pushing for his candidacy. And we're going to continue to do that as the Iowa caucuses approach. So we've got some very important, critical days ahead. Very, very important times for the future of the world, for the future of Israel, the Jewish people, for the future of America, for the future of the world. And so we as a team in JTF have to work together to make this happen. No one is saying what we say. No one gives you the message that we give you. No one else. It's so important that we reach the people of Israel and the people of America with this message in Hebrew and in English. You JTFers understand the vital importance of this message. Help us. Let's work together as a team to make this happen. When you see us put up Hebrew and English videos, promote those videos on Facebook, on YouTube, everywhere possible. That's number one. Number two, become active on our main pages. Make comments. Check our main pages out every day. There are great stories there every day that the great Shlomo puts up on the English main page, JTF.org. If you speak Hebrew and you understand Hebrew, go to the Hebrew main page, Hayamin.org. Help us with that as well. Your comments and your activity on those main pages helps us with the search engines. And third thing, we, of course, need your prayers. Please pray for us. I should have made the third thing the first thing, but I hope you'll understand, when we do these shows, this is all extemporaneous. But I should have made it the first thing, but it'll have to be the third for now. We need your prayers. Please pray for our success. Very, very important. Prayers are essential. Prayers do make a difference. Please pray for our success. Please pray for Israel. Please pray for the people of Israel and America to wake up. And let's pray also for the success of Ted Cruz. Fourth, last but not least, we need financial support. The financial support makes all the difference in the world. The stronger we are, the better we are financially, the more people we can reach, the more we can do, the more good we can do. We need that support and we need it badly. This is really a critical time. God bless the great JTFers who send checks and money orders and cash donations to our post office box. We need your help now more than ever. And other people decide for convenience sake that they'd rather contribute to us with their credit cards by going to our PayPal site or our PayPal account, which you can find on Hayamin.org. Hayamin.org is our Hebrew main page. You go on the top, there's a donate button on the top in English. You click on the donate button, and in a couple of minutes, you can very conveniently contribute to our movement online. So you can do it online if you wish with your credit card, or you can send the check, money order, cash donation through the mail to the post office box. Either way, it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. Let's fight together as a team. This is the attacks in Paris and the incredible threat of Islamic terrorism and the growing threat from Iran, which is close to, God forbid, developing nuclear bombs now with this horrific agreement, and the enormous implications of what will happen depending on this upcoming presidential election. All of these things for Israel, for America, it is so essential that we act now. We're not allowed to sit back and be apathetic. We're not allowed to be indifferent. Every one of us is going to be asked by Hashem, by God, on Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment, what did you do when you saw these critical issues coming up, when you saw the future of the world was at stake? We're not going to be asked if we succeeded, but we are going to be asked, did you try your best to influence things, to wake people up, to tell the truth, to spread the truth? Did you try your best? Let's hope that we all can give the answer that will make a big difference in terms of our eternal future in the next world. Okay, let's go to our great questions now, or let's go to our great fellow JTFers now, who do have great questions. And we start off with Yimach Shmo to Islam, who writes, and I quote, Dechayim. And then there are four people here that Yimach Shmo to Islam wants me to discuss, and he starts out with Shia Lebiuf. Shia Lebiuf. Okay. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Lebiuf I think it's a French name. This is actually an American Jewish actor. Why do I say he's Jewish? Because his mother's Jewish. His father's not Jewish, but his mother is. So under Al-Pi Halacha, according to Jewish law, he's Jewish. He starred all his life in garbage movies. He's self-hating scum who has abandoned Judaism. He doesn't believe in Judaism. He's abandoned. He's converted already to another religion, and doesn't believe in Judaism and supports all the evil, immoral things. So he's scum. And the next person on the list is John Cena. John Cena is a rapper and an actor and a wrestler. Most of all, a wrestler. What I can't stand about him is that he's a rapper. And just in general, that he's another white jerk that wants to be black. Why would a white guy want to be black? I mean, Why would you be attracted to that culture? I'm talking about the black inner city culture. Why would anybody be attracted to that culture? A white guy trying to become black? It's just, you know, what an idiot. And then Linkin Park. That's a, you know, that's a rock band, an American rock band. But I don't know enough about them. I have to tell you, I don't know enough about them. I'm sorry, Mahshmoud Islam. I can't really comment on them. I just know they're a rock band, but I don't want to comment if I don't really know enough. And then Fred Durst. He's a so-called musician and film director, and he also does hip-hop garbage. You know, he wanted to move to Crimea, and he praises Russian dictator Vladimir Putin. So he's also garbage. He praises Putin. By the way, he and Donald Trump praise Putin, but Donald Trump also loves Vladimir Putin because Donald Trump wants to be the American version of Vladimir Putin. He also wants to be like a dictator. Anyway, so much for Fred Durst. Thank you, Yimach Shmoda Islam, and we go now to Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what did you think about the latest Republican debate? Thanks. Joe, you read my mind. I discussed it already in my opening. Thank you, Joe. And we go to Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, you were against European countries that were aligned with Nazi Germany or took part in or enabled the Holocaust. Italy was an ally of Nazi Germany. Does that make Italy an evil country that God should punish? Do you hate Italy, but make an exception for Italian Americans like you do for German Americans? Unquote. Italy did support Nazi Germany, and Italy will be punished. And any country that supported the Nazis and that was supported the most evil regime and the most evil people in history, of course they're going to be punished. Those that were participated in that will be punished. But of course I don't hold that against Italian Americans who had nothing to do with Mussolini or the fascists or fighting with Nazi Germany. Of course not. Italian Americans overwhelmingly fought very bravely in the American armed forces during World War II, very loyally for the United States. So of course I'm not going to hold that against Italian Americans. If there are Italian Americans that like Mussolini and that like the Nazis, of course, that's true for any group. I'm going to be against them, of course. But I'm not going to hold that against Italian Americans generally, because generally speaking, Italian Americans were loyal to the United States during World War II. Thank you, Binyamin Yisrael. And by the way, what Binyamin mentions about German Americans, of course, what the German people did during the Holocaust was absolutely unforgivable. And they will be cursed for that. The German people will be cursed for that. But if there are Germans who didn't participate and who had nothing to do with it, they as individuals will not be cursed. It depends upon an individual's behavior. And in the United States, you have many German Americans now, or you have a pretty sizable group of German Americans in places like Texas and Oklahoma and the Dakotas and Nebraska, people that I've met and people that I've spoken to who are evangelical Christians who very strongly support Israel and the Jewish people and very much are against the Nazis and are against any type of anti-Semitism. So of course I'm not going to blame those German Americans who come from a German background. I'm not going to blame them for what the evil Germans in Germany did. Of course I'm not going to blame them for that. They had nothing to do with that, and now they're doing the right thing that people are supposed to do, that God wants all nations to do. Bless Israel, bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. They're blessing Israel. So of course I don't hold anything against people who support Israel. Doesn't matter what their ethnicity is. Doesn't matter what someone's ethnicity is. If someone does the right thing and becomes righteous, God will bless them. Of course. And we go now to Yotin, who says, Shalom Chaim, please forgive my ignorance. How do we reconcile Shlomo HaMelech's wisdom and discernment with the folly of Avodah Zarah? Unquote. Shlomo HaMelech is King Solomon, who was an incredibly wise king, the wisest king in Israel's history. And of course, who was also a great prophet and who wrote great prophetic books in the Bible. And Yotin is saying, how can we reconcile that great wisdom with Avodah Zarah, meaning idolatry? Because in the end, it says that he actually tolerated idolatry. What happened was, Shlomo HaMelech married He married many women because he felt that he could bring truth and light, not because he lusted after women, had nothing to do with that. The women were from different nations of the world because he felt he could bring the truth and light that the Jews are supposed to bring to the world to other nations by doing this. And it was a very serious mistake, because these foreign women, when they came into the land of Israel, also brought with them their avodah zarah, their idolatry. They brought their idolatrous practices into the land of Israel, which is absolutely forbidden. So that was King Solomon's, that was really his downfall. And there's a lesson to be learned from this, and the lesson is that even the wisest and most brilliant people are capable of making wrong decisions, are capable of letting certain things blind them to reality, are capable of doing things that are wrong. It's possible. Just because someone is wise doesn't mean they're infallible. And that's one of the lessons we learn from Shlomo HaMelech. He did very seriously miscalculate. He was a wonderful, righteous, magnificent king. But he did, and we learn a lot from Shlomo HaMelech, of course. But he made a terrible miscalculation by marrying these women who eventually brought their practices into the land of Israel. It was a very, very big mistake. Thank you, Yotin. And we're going now to Kalman Ben Menachem, who writes, and I quote, Reb Chaim, what do you think about the Israeli organization Yad Le'achim? Thank you, unquote. I think Yad Le'achim does good work. I think they do positive work. Yad Le'achim, which means a hand for brothers. In other words, giving your hand to your brothers. They're an anti-missionary group, and I think that their anti-missionary activities in Israel are positive activities. They have saved Jews from missionary and cult groups. So I think that they, overall, there may be things they do that I don't agree with, because they have their own ideology. There may be sometimes where I have differences of opinion with them on certain things. But overall, I think that they're a positive group. I think what they're doing is positive. Overall, I think over the years, they have saved Jews, and I think that they're a positive group. Thank you, Kalman. And we go to Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, one, expose Jewish women archives. Jewish Women Archives is an extreme left-wing, self-hating, feminist garbage site that only, of course, honors the most evil, atrocious, self-hating Judenrat women, the real Jewish, the great Jewish women of history, of course, they hate. They're the lowest, most vile, self-hating filth. Anything coming, you know, from the Jewish establishment or having one of these Jewish establishment-type sites, of course they're going to be terrible. So they honor the lowest, the most evil Jewish anti-Semites, who happen to be female in this case. They are the most vile people, just absolutely vile. Smesh Islam now writes, to Moldova. Moldova is a country, a small country, in Eastern Europe. It's sandwiched in Eastern Europe between Romania and the Ukraine. You're not supposed to say the Ukraine. I said the Ukraine. Ooh, you're supposed to, you just have to say Ukraine, not the Ukraine. Must only say Ukraine. Must not say the Ukraine. Oh, please. Anyway, between Romania and Ukraine, okay? I said Ukraine, and they said it without the word the. And by the way, they make a big deal about that. They don't want the word the when you say Ukraine. Moldova is a small country between Romania and Ukraine. It's a country with 3 million people, but roughly 3 million people, maybe a little bit less. And it was a country with a large Jewish population. There was once a large Jewish population that lived in what has become Moldova of today. There was a time when 11-12% of the population was Jewish. But of course, in the Holocaust, those Jews were the vast majority of those Jews were murdered. 90% of them were, roughly 90% were murdered. And most of the other 10, almost all the other 10% have left, thank God, have left that godforsaken part of the world. Moldova is, it's a very poor country. It's a backward country. And It's one of the Eastern European countries where there's a lot of tragic Jewish history and a lot of bloodshed against the Jewish people. And we go now to 3. Kurd honor kill. Okay, so I guess Smash Islam is saying here that the Kurds engage in honor killings. Well, the Kurds, whom everybody's praising now because they're fighting against the Islamic State, and they do fight against the Arabs and the Iranians, which, oh, is good. I'm glad they fight against the Arabs and the Iranians. But they are Muslims. We must never forget they're Muslims. And Smash Islam says here that they also engage in the Islamic honor killings. I'm not familiar with that, Smash Islam, so I can't comment on that. But it wouldn't surprise me if that's true. And Smash Islam now writes, 4. A most to least devout Muslim, Khomeini, Taliban, Arab Fag, Boko Haram, Bin Laden, ISIS. Well, all of them are devout Muslims, except for the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat. He was actually a secular Muslim, and he wound up murdering more Jews than all of these other people. So it shows you the secular Muslims are just as bloody and just as filled with Jew hatred as the religious Muslims. There's no difference. Arafat was a secular Muslim. There are many other examples of secular Muslims. Abdul Gamal Nasser or Nasser in English. Muammar Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein. Those were all secular Muslims. And they massacred huge numbers of people. So there's something about, it's not just the Islamic religion, it created a whole culture of massacring and barbarism and hatred and extremism and fanaticism, a whole culture. And we see that with Arafat. But I don't know who's the most or to least devout. Shmesh Islam is asking me to rate them as the most to least devout. I don't know. They all follow the tenets of this evil religion and all have engaged in atrocious behavior as a result because of their beliefs that they take from their, this is part of their religious beliefs that has led them to do atrocious, horrific things, has led to the murder of millions of men, women, and children. Thank you, Smash Islam. We go now to Ruby Stars, who writes, and I quote, "Do you think there's any symbolic meaning behind Obama looking so much like Akhenaten? Is it a warning from God by making his face like the Pharaoh?" Okay. Ruby Stars is saying here that Obama looks like Pharaoh. He certainly acts like Pharaoh. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe God is trying to send us a message here because he certainly acts like Pharaoh. His arrogance and his murderous hatred for everyone who's good, for all good people and all good causes. So he certainly has that, and he has the megalomaniacal mentality of Pharaoh. So maybe God's, in his mercy, wants us to see that this is what we're dealing with. I don't know. It's possible. Thank you, Ruby Stars. We go now to PMN, who writes, and I quote, "Leftists always try to show blacks in the best light, so why did they make a star of Whoopi Goldberg, who is arguably the ugliest woman on earth?" Because a lot of the blacks who were turned into stars are ugly. You know, they want to say to us, here's what they want to say to us. Blacks, especially the evil blacks, whether they're ugly, good-looking, we got to worship them. Now, if they only showed us good-looking black people, if they only showed us black people that are good-looking, then you could say, well, you know, somebody would think, well, that means the ugly ones we don't have to worship. So they want us to know it covers all blacks. Even blacks as ugly as Whoopi Goldberg or as Michelle Obama, because she's also unbelievably ugly, we have to worship them. We have to get down on our hands and knees, and we have to give them everything they demand and then some. So that's what I think the message is here. Thank you, PMN. And we go now to Nekama, who writes, and I quote, "Der Chaim, 1. Black men, KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, make black lives not matter." Okay, that's Nekama's commentary. You know, well, anyway, I think the commentary speaks for itself. Nekama now writes, 2. According to Harambam, what are the criteria for Mashiach? Will he wear a strimal? Unquote. Okay, a strimal is the Hasidic hat that the Hasidim wear. I don't think that the Mashiach will wear a strimal, no. Harambam says that the Mashiach, there's certain things the Mashiach has to accomplish in order to be Mashiach. One of them is Kibbutz Galuyot. He has to bring the Jews back to the land of Israel. Another is Bniyat Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi. He has to build the third temple, the holy temple, Beit HaMikdash. The first thing he has to do, though, is fight Milchamot Hashem. He has to fight the wars of Hashem. That's the very first thing he has to do, and defeat and destroy the enemies of Israel and the Jewish people. That's what Mashiach, that's what the Messiah is supposed to do. He's supposed to be a warrior who destroys and defeats the enemies of the Jewish people so that the Jewish people can fulfill their mission in the world. It's hard to fulfill your mission when everybody's stabbing you, murdering you, running over you, building nuclear bombs against you, you know. You can't really do what you're really supposed to do. Mashiach is supposed to defeat and destroy the enemies of the Jewish people. So he's got to fight the wars that Israel has to win. He's got to rebuild the Holy Temple. He's got to regather the exiles from the land of Israel to the land. Regather the exiles to the land of Israel. Exiles from all over the world, all the Jews from all over the world, bring them into the land of Israel. Those are the things that the Mashiach must do, and that will then lead to other great things in the Messianic era. Then we see other great things happen in the Messianic era as a result of that. Eventually, that leads to other things that we hope for and of course very much want in the era of the Messiah. Thank you, Nekama. We go now to Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, 1. Fox Business News debate. Better for Cruz? Okay, this, again, Dr. Dan also reads my mind. Dr. Dan is someone who knows pretty much what I'm going to discuss on the shows even before I discuss it. Dr. Dan, I you read my mind again, and we did discuss this. We discussed this in the opening. And I do think it's better for Cruz. I think Ted Cruz won the debate, even though the media and the other phonies, you know, try to put that down and try to say Marco Rubio won, which is not true. Ted Cruz won that debate, and I do think that God willing, I'm hoping that will help Cruz. And Dr. Dan asks about John Kasich's outbursts. John Kasich, the governor of the arrogant, disgusting governor of Ohio, and his outbursts during the debate. I think he came across very badly, and I really think that that's going to hurt him. I don't think he came across well at all. And Dr. Dan now writes, BDS, that's the boycott, divestment, you know, the anti-Israel boycott and divestment, Jew haters. BDS at Kotel. Kotel is the Western Wall at the Holy, the Western Wall in Jerusalem. BDS at Kotel, but Jews can't be on Temple Mount? Okay, very good point. Yes, this is true. Jews are not allowed to pray on the Temple Mount, not allowed to go up to the Temple Mount. Muslims are given total control by the Netanyahu-Bennett regime. Bennett, Netanyahu, and Aryeh Deri believe that Muslims should control the Temple Mount. They believe this belongs to the Muslims. They say Jews are not allowed to go up there. They don't want Jews going up there. But they will allow the worst Jew-hating scum to go to the Western Wall to pray. That's very true. The only person who's not allowed into Israel to go to the Kotel is Chaim ben Pesach. If you're a Jew-hater who's working day and night to destroy Israel, you're welcome into Israel. They'll give you a red carpet welcome. But if you spend your whole life trying to help Jews and trying to help Israel, then you're banned from coming to the country. At least that, in my case, that's been true. Dr. Dan now writes, 3. Dvar Torah Toldot. Okay, Toldot is the parasha this week, in the Torah portion this week that we read yesterday in the Beit Knesset, in the in the synagogue. let's see, what aspect? Why don't we deal with the blessing? The blessing from Yitzchak Avinu. Avraham Avinu, Abraham, was the first Jew, the first person to begin the concepts of Judaism and what would eventually become Judaism. He was really the world's first Jew, Avraham Avinu, Abraham. And then he had Yitzchak, and Yitzchak was the next one to get the legacy from Avraham. Yitzchak continued it. Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu means Yitzchak, our father. And then Yitzchak had two sons, Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov is Jacob, Esav is Esau. Jacob, of course, was very righteous, who would eventually be the father of the 12 tribes. His 12 sons became the 12 tribes. And then Esau, who was evil, who represents the evil nations that persecuted and murdered the Jews and that support idolatry and all the terrible things and bloodshed. So Esau represents evil. Jacob, Yaakov, represents righteousness. Now, Esau was the firstborn. He came out for, even though there were twins, Esau actually technically came out first, so he's the firstborn. So he wanted to get the blessing of the firstborn blessing. He wanted to get the main blessing from Yitzchak. And this is very significant because the blessings of these very holy forefathers of our people carry a lot of weight historically. They carry a lot of weight. They're very important. So, Yaakov wanted that blessing. And he wanted to be blessed. So he winds up tricking his father and saying something that wasn't truthful to his father, saying that he was Esau in order to get the blessing. And his father does bless him his father was blind, by the way. Yitzchak was blind, so Yitzchak couldn't see him. Yaakov pretends that he's Esau in order to get the blessing. That's the short part of the story. Of course, there are many other aspects of the story, but that's just a very quick review of the story for this reason, and we're giving you that quick review for this reason. It says, Yitzchak says, the hands of Esau. This is what it says in the Torah. The hands of the hands of Esau, but the voice is the voice of Jacob. What does that mean? That means that when you're dealing with evil, monstrous people, you're permitted to use their tactics to destroy and defeat them. You can't go into battle against Muslim terrorists, for instance, or against Nazi Germany, or against Iran, or against the Soviet Union, or against monstrous forces in history. You can't go into battle against them as a pacifist, throwing flowers at them. You can't fight that way. You have to be willing to use the tactics that they use. The same tactics they use against you, you've got to be willing to use against them. You have to be willing to use their tactics. If that means deception of the enemy, you have to be willing to use deception. If it means other tactics that certain people may shy from, you've got to be willing to use those tactics. When you're fighting against Esav, when you're fighting against Esau, you've got to be willing to use the tactics of Esau in order to defeat him. That's what the hands of the hands of Esau, the voice of the voice of Jacob means. Even though we are righteous and our end goal is righteous, when we're fighting for survival and when we're fighting against the forces of evil, sometimes we have to use tactics that aren't pretty in order to achieve that goal. And in fact, we're required to use those tactics in order to win. It's part of the mitzvot. It's part of the milchemet mitzvah. Milchemet mitzvah means the obligatory war under the halacha, under Jewish law, that we have to fight. The Harambam gives us the rules of milchemet mitzvah, and other rabbanim, other rabbis in Chazal give us those rules, and those rules include that when you fight against evil, monstrous people, and your survival is in danger and in jeopardy, you've got to be willing to use their tactics sometimes in order to defeat them. So that we learn from this week's parasha, when Yitzchak gives the blessing and Yaakov is willing to mislead even his righteous father because he needs that blessing. It's very important that he get that blessing so the righteous, the children of Israel, the righteous will have that blessing throughout history, will have the blessing and will be able to do the good things that have to be done to make this a better world. It would have been terrible for humanity if Esav had gotten that blessing. That's the lesson. Thank you, Dr. Dan. We go now to Hiram, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom, why are Western cities acting more and more like city-states conducting independent foreign policies? Please discuss financial jihad." Okay. I don't know exactly, Hiram, what you're referring to, but I think in some cases this is good. I think that, for instance, certain states in the United States, I think that the state should continue the boycott against Iran and should take steps against Iran, even if the federal government is doing this terrible deal. States should take action against Iran. States should take action against other Muslim enemies of the United States, Muslim terrorist entities and countries. If the only way we can do this is on the state level, I think it should be done. I think we should take action on the state level if we can't get it done in Washington because of Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, and other anti-Semites blocking us. So in some cases, these seemingly independent foreign policies being run by a state or by a city, sometimes that could be a positive. I don't know what you're referring to in terms of other examples, because you seem to be referring to it that it's being done in a negative way here. Unless you're referring to the fact that there are certain cities, for instance, in Europe that are engaging in boycotts against Israel. That might be what you're referring to. But Israel has to understand that what the Bible says, the destiny of the Jewish people, is to be isolated and alone. Hen am levadad yishkon uvagoyim lo yitchashav. Lo, this is a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. That's what it says in the Torah. And this is the destiny of Israel. That's a blessing, that's not a curse. That's a blessing. So when these Jew-hating entities have boycotts and take these other actions, it's going to boomerang on them in the end. It's not something that's going to be our downfall in the end. When we do things that are wrong, that's when we have to be worried. Thank you, Hiram. We go now to Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "What is your opinion of the article on Michelle Bachmann that I posted on the General Discussion Forum a few days ago?" Unquote. Michelle Bachmann, for those of you who don't know, someone that I have praised over the years, someone that I really liked because she was very pro-Israel, someone who, you know, I've had the pleasure of meeting, and I really believe that she's pro-Israel, unfortunately said that Christians now have to get Jews to convert. She's starting this missionary stuff. That's the statement that she made. If she's going to go down that track, then we don't want her support. We don't want the support of people who are going to try to convert us. Okay? It says, one of the things we learn in Judaism is that love that is dependent on something else is not true love. We don't want the so-called love of people who have ulterior motives. When you have an ulterior motive, that's not true love. We don't want the support of people like that. People who come to missionize and try to steal Jewish souls are a danger to the Jewish people, no less than Muslim terrorists who are trying to steal Jewish souls by murdering them physically. So we cannot tolerate missionaries and missionary activity, and by her making that statement, she crossed the red line with us. Unless she retracts that statement, she has crossed the red line with us by speaking about converting Jews. We are not interested in people whose motivation for supporting Israel is to try to convert us. And so I was very disappointed in the fact that she made that statement. It was a real disappointment to me. Thank you, Chicago Jew. We go now to Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, "Say something about one of Chaim Fan's favorite politicians now that he's passed, Larry Flint," unquote. Okay, Lewinsky Stinks is referring to Fred Thompson, who was a very lazy candidate running for president. He was, by the way, really up in the polls. He was second in all the polls in 2007 when he ran for president. He was considered to be a front runner for the Republican presidential nomination in 2007. I say 2007 because 2008 was the election, but 2007 leading up to the election, the year leading up to the election, he was in second place in the polls for months. He was a very strong front-running candidate. But he was so lazy, that he reminds me of two other lazy candidates running now. Ben Carson.
Ben Carson. Oh, yeah. I'm a doctor. Oh.
Yeah, I'm just so lazy. Just atrociously lazy. And Marco Rubio, who's too lazy to show up to vote in the Senate. Too late. Marco Rubio doesn't do anything. Marco Rubio is genuinely lazy. He's genuinely lazy because he's addicted to gambling. He likes gambling on football games. And he loves listening to hip-hop and rap. He's a big fan of hip-hop and rap and all the degenerate so-called music of the black inner-city culture. That's what he loves. And so Marco Rubio also spends his time doing things that you would think a presidential candidate, a senator, would be too busy to do those things. And so, in some ways, I would compare Fred Thompson, the lazy Fred Thompson, to the lazy Marco Rubio and the lazy Ben Carson. Both of them are very lazy. All of them are very lazy. And that gives me hope, because I would hope that their laziness would be an impediment to their being able to win. And I don't want them to win. But we'll see. Some of the voters are so stupid and crazy. You know, I saw Ben Carson. He took the lead in Iowa. He hasn't even been in Iowa for like 2 months. He hardly showed up. He's out there selling his book and selling all the other con things that he does, selling these vitamin pills that he claims cure cancer. I mean, just all the other cons that this guy's been involved with, and he is a con man. He hasn't even been in Iowa, and still he's in the lead, and he was in the lead in the polls. So who knows? But let's hope their laziness works against them, like it did for Fred Thompson. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, compare Rubio and Muzz Muzzy. Muzz Muzzy is Chris Christie. Well, Rubio and Chris Christie are both establishment politicians. They're both sellouts on every single issue. I think Rubio is just a whore. Rubio is anything you want him to be, as long as it's good for his political career. He's a complete opportunist, unprincipled opportunist. Chris Christie really supports and loves Muslims. I don't know why. He loves blacks and he loves Muslims. He supported Barack Hussein Obama and was responsible for Obama. I think he was one of the main reasons why Obama won the election against Mitt Romney. In the last week of the campaign, you remember the last week of the campaign, Chris Christie was hugging Obama and praising him. He did dozens of interviews on television as a Republican, the Republican governor of New Jersey, praising Obama effusively on every TV show. You remember that? One of the main reasons Obama was reelected was because of Chris Christie. So I think both of them are scum. I think Rubio is scum. I think Chris Christie's scum. Let's hope and pray that neither one of them get anywhere near the nomination. And Lewinsky Stinks writes, is it possible that P.P. Lewinsky could be Gog? P.P. Lewinsky being Netanyahu. Could be Gog. No, I don't think it is, because Gog is not Jewish. I don't think Gog is going to be Jewish. I think Gog is supposed to represent the non-Jewish. Of course, there are going to be Jews who will, in the Erev Rav, who will support Gog, who will collaborate with him. But Gog is not going to be a Jew. Gog is going to be a leader of the non-Jewish nations that go against Israel. And Lewinsky Stinks now writes, compare the black lobby and the feminazi lobby. Thanks. They both use intimidation. They're both dishonest. The black lobby uses violence more, and the feminazi lobby just uses their power in the news media and their wealth, because a lot of them are very rich. A lot of a lot of these feminist lesbian women are very wealthy, and so they use their power in the media to beat people over the head and to impose their agenda on society. The blacks, as you see in the University of Missouri, and as you see with so-called Black Lives Matter, they use violence and intimidation to impose their will on the rest of society. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. We go now to Bracha Chazaka, who writes, and I quote, comments on the death of Mo Emwazi, jihadi joke. Okay. Mo, his name was Mo Mohammed, was his full name, but they called him Mo Emwazi. He's Jihadi John. was it Jihadi John or John Jihadi? I don't remember now. But he's the animal that you remember seeing the scenes of him cutting people's heads off. He's the one who took swords out and was cutting. He did video bragging him in front of everybody before the whole world, cutting people's heads off. I don't know if you remember that, but he's a British national who was doing this, and they say that he was killed in an airstrike. Yimach shmo v'zichro. Bracha Chazaka now writes, also, can you do a jihadi imitation which involves saying Jehennum in a high-pitched voice? Thanks. Jehennum in a high-pitched voice? That would be hard for me. I don't know. I don't think it would come out good. Bracha Chazaka. I'm sorry. I just don't think it would come out good. I think it won't come out good. But interesting, but thank you. Nice thought. And I guess it could be humorous, but I just can't imagine doing it in a high-pitched voice in a way that it will come out the way you'd want it to. But anyway, thank you very much, Bracha Chazaka. And we go to Black Sabbath, who writes, and I quote, quiz. Question, which one of these affirmative actions is not a Muslim? Okay. So in other words, Black Sabbath wants to ask which one of the four next people is not a Muslim, and he lists Stokely Carmichael, H. Rap Brown, Khalid Mohammed, Barack Hussein Obama. Well, it's Stokely Carmichael. H. Rap Brown is a Muslim. He's in prison now, convicted of murder. He's serving a prison term. I don't remember what his Muslim name is, but he has a, Muslim name now. For those of you who don't know, he was with the Black Panthers and with the so-called Black Power movement in the 60s. But he definitely is a Muslim. Khalid Mohammed, of course, was a Muslim. Khalid Mohammed, thank God, is now dead. But he was a Muslim, and he was involved with the Nation of Islam. And Barack Hussein Obama, obviously, is a Muslim. I think we've proven that on many occasions with the videos that we've done showing his Islamic, his very strong belief in Islam and his connection to Islam. Stokely Carmichael was just a vicious black racist and Jew hater of the worst type. Just to give you an example, Stokely Carmichael, he was one of the leaders of SNCC. SNCC is the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which was the number one activist group during the so-called civil rights movement in the 60s. And so many Jews were involved with SNCC. Of course, the Jews funded SNCC, and many Jews were involved with SNCC. They went down south, and they got beaten and bitten by dogs and everything under the sun they were willing to go through. And in the case of Schwerner and Goodman, they were actually killed fighting for the rights of blacks to vote in Mississippi. Jews gave their lives fighting for blacks who then turned on them. And I'll give you an example of just how grateful the blacks are. Stokely Carmichael, he got his lead from Jews. All the people he worked with that pushed him up when he was in school, when he was in college, everywhere, were all Jews, all pushing him up. And when he was with SNCC, it was Jews that pushed him forward, that gave him all of his breaks. So he used SNCC to eventually form an alliance with SNCC, between SNCC and the Black Panthers, because he joined the Black Panthers. And just to give you an example of what you're dealing with here, and again, this is someone who, without Jewish money and Jewish brains and Jews pushing him forward, would have been nothing. I mean, he'd be shining shoes. He'd be shining white people's shoes if not for the Jews. He goes on the David Frost show. Remember David Frost, the British television talk show host? Younger people won't remember him. But anyway, David Frost had a show, a one-hour program, which had very high ratings on American television. He had it on British television too, but during this period he had it on American television. And in 1970, Stokely Carmichael goes on the David Frost show and says... And David Frost asks him, he said, who is the greatest white man to ever live? And Stokely Carmichael says, the greatest white man ever to live was Adolf Hitler. That's what he said on the show. He starts praising Hitler and saying that Hitler was the greatest white man ever to live. That is Stokely Carmichael, who got his money and all of his, and everything he got, all the pushes, all the push forward that he got in life, everything that enabled him in life to go forward, because he was a talentless piece of subhuman garbage. But everything that he got to push him forward was from self-hating Jews. And then he goes on television to express his thanks by praising Hitler and saying Hitler was the greatest white man ever to live. A little lesson for all the Jews that support Obama and that support the NAACP and support the so-called civil rights movement and how we and just all the other sick things that they support. A little lesson for them. Thank you, Black Sabbath. We go now to Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, 1. Parashat Vayetze Dvar Torah. Well, Tag Mechir, I already did the parasha, the Torah portion. Vayetze is next week's Torah portion. I already did the Torah portion for this week. I don't really want to do two parashiyot, two Torah portions in 1 week. I think it's confusing. I think it's overload. And, you know, I'll be happy, Tag Mechir. I will be very happy if you want to ask me this next week, if you want me to do this Torah portion next week, I will be very happy to do it for you next week. But I don't like doing two Torah portions in 1 week, and especially this week's and the next week's. I think it's confusing. So I'll be happy to do it for you next week if you want to ask me next week. Very happy to do it for you. Tag Mechir now writes, 2. Paris attacks, is it a punishment for what they're doing to Israel? Unquote. Yes, it certainly is, and that's one of the things that I mentioned in my opening, in a pretty detailed way. Of course it's a punishment for what they're doing to Israel and what they've done to the Jewish people, of course. It's just a warning of the terrible things that they're yet going to face because of their attacks on the Jewish people. Of course. Tag Mechir now writes, 3. Genetic testing, 23andMe, are you familiar? Unquote. Yeah, this is a company that does so-called... I don't trust them. The FDA ruled against them, you know, and stopped them for a while. The FDA actually for a while stopped them from doing what they were doing because it was just fraud. And they have... There are numerous... There are class action lawsuits against them that are pending against them. I don't trust them. I think this is a con job. I don't trust what they're doing. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And again, Tag Mechir Tzedek, please, you know, next week, if you want to, you can ask me about the parasha next week. I'll be happy to discuss next week's parasha next week. We go now to Mr. VSS, who writes, and I quote, Shalom, please educate, inform, and enlighten about Meir Lansky, unquote. Meir Lansky was a Jew who was involved with organized crime all of his life. He was involved both with the Jewish mafia and with the Italian mafia. The Jewish mafia and the Italian mafia often worked together. And he was involved with both of them. He was like their accountant. There were certain aspects of the Jewish mafia. For instance, Murder Incorporated was 100% Jewish. The people of Murder Incorporated, and something we should be ashamed of, it's terrible. You go to them, you pay them money. They don't even know who the person is, and they agree to kill somebody, murder somebody for you in exchange for money. That was Murder Incorporated, and tragically, all the people involved there were Jewish. It's terrible, terrible, immoral organization. But anyway, there was a Jewish mafia, there was an Italian mafia. Meir Lansky worked with both, and he was like an accountant. He was brilliant with numbers and figures, brilliant with those things. And so he operated their casinos in Cuba, in Havana, Cuba, before Castro and the communists took over. He also operated the casinos in Las Vegas. He went to Vegas, and he was involved with all types of things in organized crime. He got away with it. He got away with a lot of things. One of the interesting incidents in 1970, I think it was 70 or 72, maybe 1972, he was charged with tax evasion, so he went to Israel to avoid the charges. He said, I'm a Jew, I'm claiming right of return, I want to go to Israel, I want to become a citizen of Israel in order to avoid the tax evasion charges in America. and the Israelis refused. They threw him out. They let him stay there, though, for 2 years while he was appealing and everything. Me, they didn't even give me that. They threw me out right away. So me, they treated even worse than him. But they refused to let him in. So that he was another case of someone who was thrown out of Israel. He was a Jew who, even though he did terrible things, immoral things, because organized crime is immoral and gambling is immoral, and all the other thing, all the rackets that they were involved in were terrible things. So I don't think that I certainly don't look at him as a role model for Jews. On the other hand, he was proud to be a Jew. He did attack the Germans in Yorktown when they were marching with the swastika in the 1930s in German, what they call Germantown in Upper Manhattan. He and other Jews went and physically attacked them to stop them. They were marching in support of Hitler in the 1930s here. He also was an admirer of Rabbi Kahana and the JDL. So, what can I say? There was actually a good side to him on certain things, but overall, his life is not the life you want a Jew to lead. Organized crime and being involved in these types of terrible activities, that's, a Jew is not supposed to be involved in this type of immoral activity. Thank you, Mr. VSS. We go now to EB22, who writes, and I quote, please discuss Glenn Beck's efforts against Islam, including his new book, It Is About Islam, unquote. I haven't seen his book. If he's saying it is about Islam and he's quoting Islam, that's very, very important. And he's doing something that is very, very valuable, and I would applaud him for that. I'm disappointed that Glenn Beck, who likes Ted Cruz and who has praised him repeatedly, nevertheless uses his website. His website is, I mean, The Blaze. If you go to The Blaze, I'm not talking about glennbeck.org or .com or whatever it is. I'm not talking about his personal website because that I haven't seen. I don't know. But I know on The Blaze, which is the website connected to his radio show and connected to his activities, and which is a pretty big conservative website, he has articles all over the place criticizing Donald Trump, praising Donald Trump, praising Ben Carson, praising Marco Rubio. He also praises Ted Cruz, but he praises everybody. It's just all over the place, scattershot stuff, and it's just, I think it's a mess. So I'm disappointed in that. I mean, look, we took a stand, and maybe a lot of people don't agree with the stand. There are people out there that support all other types of candidates, but we took a stand in 2013, more than 2 years ago, when nobody was supporting Ted Cruz, when he was at 3 or 4% in the polls, when no one was supporting him. We took a stand and we said, this is the guy we support and that's it. None of the conservative websites are doing that. None of them. None of them. We took a stand and we stuck with it, popular or not popular. This is our candidate. We're openly endorsing him and supporting him, and we're gonna fight. We're going to fight for him. I mean, this is what people should, if you see something that's good, but even if it's unpopular, take a stand and promote the good. Promote the good. But I think that Glenn Beck and The Blaze and all these other conservative sites like Breitbart, they're only interested in ratings. And it's really, you know, it's real. Breitbart is just a terrible Breitbart, what they do. They promote Donald Trump day and night. Terrible site. So, you know, what can I say? I'm disappointed when I see that type of behavior. Thank you, EB. And we go now to Mein Koran, who writes, and I quote, comments. One, Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks. For those of you who don't know, the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur is a Turkish-American atheist. He was a Muslim, now he says he's an atheist. What an anti-Semite. He is so anti-Israel. He's so left-wing. He's such an extreme left-winger and so anti-Israel. And for example, when Ted Cruz was booed for defending Israel, for mentioning and defending Jews in Israel. And he was booed by these Arab anti-Semites. And remember, he said, if you're not going to stand by Israel and the Jews, then I'm not going to stand with you. And he walked off the stage. It was one of his finest moments. I mean, it was like his finest hour. And we're going to be doing, we're going to do videos on that as the election gets closer, God willing, to show you the courageous thing from Ted Cruz. Many of you may probably already have seen it. But this guy, this Turkish Muslim, Turkish ex-Muslim atheist anti-Semite, defended the people booing him, saying, oh, they had enough of this with Jews in Israel already. I mean, such an anti-Semite, such a disgusting, just a disgusting person, a left-wing disgusting person. And two, Sam Sater. Oh, Sam Sater's a self-hating Jewish leftist who is on YouTube and was on the talk show circuit, you know, with the Al Gore's talk show station. I mean, just horrible person. and a self-hating Jew. 3, trigger warnings and microaggressions, unquote. These are politically correct nonsense things that the insane nonsense things that the crypto-fascists on college campuses have come up with. This is from the college campus world. Trigger warnings are where you're supposed to... We're warning you that what you're about to see may upset you if you have mental problems. That's literally what trigger warnings mean. It's saying, hey, we're going to show you something that might upset you if you have a mental problem. But we're still going to show it anyway. So this is the... They use this, you know, for the if someone in Hollywood or some other person wants to show things that are really, really graphic or really disgusting or grotesque or really something that human beings should not want to be showing to other human beings. They'll say, don't blame us. We're giving you a trigger warning here. It's just complete bluff. And microaggressions. Microaggression is a term that they used. This goes way back, actually. But it came up. They're starting to use it again. It's actually from the early 70s when I was a kid. Microaggression is a term that a black professor used. He said that white people, sometimes even unintentionally, all they do is insult blacks all the time. Everything they say is an insult and it's a microaggression. They call it a microaggression. He said they don't even realize, but they're just, everything out of their mouth is insulting black people, white people. In other words, everything is insulting. That's called a microaggression. If you say anything that upsets the politically correct groupings that we're supposed to worship, whether it's blacks or Muslims or Arabs or so-called gays, anything you say, it's a microaggression. It's not a microaggression, by the way, when they say anti-Semitic things and racist things to us. That's not a microaggression. That's perfectly acceptable. Then that's free speech and free expression. And Mein Quran writes, 4, should France commit suicide to stop Islamophobia, unquote. Well, that's certainly what they're doing. They want to show that they're not Islamophobes, and so they are committing suicide. All of Europe has been doing that. Recently, all of Europe is doing that. Unfortunately, the United States and Israel are also doing that. This is mass, it's just mass insanity. It's absolutely mass insanity. Thank you, Mein Quran. And I want to thank everybody for another program that I certainly very much enjoy doing. Until next week, Shalom.